Praise the Lord for His goodness. While you're standing, we'll turn the service to Brother Russell Hamby, Bishop of Rector.
Praise God. That's right. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Shake hands with someone beside you and say, wanted to remind you we're in revival. Better give me some elbow room. Praise God. And you can be seated. Glory to God. It's good to be here tonight. Good to be home. I feel right at home here. When people begin to sing and worship and shout and even preach. All these mini-series we've had tonight from Brother Sam and Brother Castile. I just like it when we can get together in the old tabernacle in the presence of God. We're in store for a great time tonight. We have looked forward to this with great anticipation of a move of God. And I've just decided I'm going to come up here and be myself. And just preach to you folks. I'll just tell you, when I get wound up, I'm wild as I can be. I've tried to be dignified and sedated. But when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of me, when that anointing hits me, friend, I can't help it. It's got to do something. It's got to go somewhere. And I just plan, Brother Mark, to let the Lord get a hold of me. I remember one youth rally I preached for you folks over in the old building, one of the last rallies you had there. Brother Lumpkin came to the service. And I preached a whole message. Didn't feel like I'd done much anything. I got to preaching on the lame man. And how that he leaping up stood, and I ran over to Brother Mark, grabbed his hand, and Brother Mark jumped up and started shouting. And when he did, the power of God fell on that place. We had a shout then. Everybody's talking about how good it was. I didn't really think it had been that good, but thank God Mark shouted. Praise God. And praise the Lord. We're just in revival, and that's when you just bear back and worship God. You know, I enjoyed the song that this youth group sang tonight. Beautiful singing. But they were singing about the healer in the house. The healer in the house, you know. Sometimes I have to listen to these songs to get all the words. I heard a song the other day on the radio that just upset me. Mm-hmm. These guys were singing, "Our God is an awful God." Mm-hmm. "Our God is an awful God." Man, I mean, I got irritated. I turned the radio wide open. "Our God is an awful God." I said, "I'm going to call that radio station." Realized it was awesome, man. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, well, that makes it a little different. Man, my blood pressure was up. Our God is an awful God. But there's a healer in the house. First time I heard that, I really didn't know if I liked it or not. But I got to thinking about it. There is a healer in the house today. You know, and healing is always the will of God for His people. Always is it the will of God. Healing, whether it be afflictions or sicknesses or whatever, it's always the will of God to have healing. The Lord said, if my people... I'm not going to preach here before I preach. But if my people will humble themselves and pray, mm-hmm. I will hear from heaven. I will heal. Everybody say heal.
Heal.
Heal. It's always the will of God. I believe there's going to be a healing tonight of soul and body. And you know, the Scripture says that it's always the will of God for Him to heal people who may ask what they will. John 15:7. Or ask whatsoever you ask, the Lord said in Matthew 21, "In my name I'll do it." He said in John 14:14, "Ask anything in my name." Anything. Ask what you will, ask whatsoever, ask anything. He even said, "What things soever you desire," in Mark chapter 11. What you desire, I can heal, I can do. And then He said, "I can even do much more than the earthly parents would or could give their children." He can do more than what the earthly parents could give. He said, if you parents know how to give good gifts, man, the Heavenly Father can outdo you. Praise God. I just feel that the Lord's going to outdo Himself here this week. He's going to heal us. Hallelujah. It's just good to be with you. I know we've been advertised. Hallelujah. Hope we can do everything you want us to do. I remember I had Rendell preaching for me one night at Rector. And this is one of his first times to come. And so I was really building him up. And I told my church, all of my churches musically inclined, everybody can play something if it's nothing more than the radio, but they can all play something. And I told them, I said, when Rendell gets here, I said, he will play every musical instrument that's on the platform. He'll play the piano, the organ, the drums, the saxophone, the trumpet, the trombone, everything. And I told Rendell before he came what I'd done. He said, oh, yeah, I can handle that. Yeah, we'll just have a big time. Yeah, Rendell is. Oh, yeah, I can do that. So I got him to the platform. I said, and now at this time we're bringing Rendell Rutledge to preach for us. He's going to play every musical instrument on this platform. So Rendell went to the piano, and you know how Rendell can play. He went to the organ. Oh, he played. I mean, our folks was loving it, clapping, jumping up, biting the ceilings, everything. I mean, he played the drums, you know, and we had to scoot him out from the wall a little bit, but he played them. And I mean, he really showed off, threw sticks in the air, and he played my trumpet. Oh, yeah, he just really played the trumpet. He got to the trombone, did a great job, and he got over to Joy's saxophone. And he picked Joy's saxophone up, and he said, play! And so they started playing, and when Rendell started playing, he went, squee! He stopped. He said, well, I guess I'll try this again. All right, play! Squee! All he could do is get a squeak out of that thing. So he said, well, let's try this one more time. He adjusted it. He got a laugh, you know. Let's try it again. Squeak! He squeaked that thing 3 times. Finally set it down. He said, there's something wrong with this horn.
Uh-huh.
And Joy said, no, there isn't. He said, yeah, there's something wrong with it. I can't play it. Joy said, no, there's nothing wrong with it. So she came over and picked it up and started playing it. And I mean, here's this guy that advertised to play everything on the platform. He played everything but the saxophone, and Joy come over. After he said, there's something wrong with it, and played it. What I'm simply trying to say is that y'all might have advertised me. You may have promoted me. I appreciate that. I saw my sign, my name on the marquee. Praise God. I don't want to get up here and squeak. I don't want Brother Rutledge coming up for Sunday night and tearing it up. They already told me about Brother Bennett. That old cock, that elder minister. Why, praise God, old preachers can preach too. Amen. I just teased him. You make sure that if he hears that tape, that elder minister. I want to tell you something, folks. We're not here just to show off. We're here to glorify God. We're here to have revival. Aren't you glad you're here tonight? Aren't you glad Jesus is here tonight? Let's give the Lord a hand, praise. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Well, I'm glad to be here tonight also. And a while ago when Dad was naming all the kids off that would like to come home, he left me out. And I'm the only one that would even desire to come home. But anyway, I think he wanted me to come home too. I'll not get my feelings hurt. But it is a privilege to be here tonight. And I'm going to absorb every minute of being here because I love being home. I looked at my husband a while ago and he looked over at me and said, what are we going to do? Are you going to play your horn? Are you going to sing? And I thought, well, this is my home. I can do whatever I want to. It doesn't matter what he says. But I'm going to sing a song that I have written. As you know, I think I testified about a dear lady in our church. She's a dear friend of mine that was prognosed as having cancer. And she has come through victoriously. And the doctor has said she's not going to have cobalt treatment, which we thought she would have to have. And her hair is growing back. She lost every bit of her hair. And we feel like we have gained a great victory. But the reason I'm saying all that is every treatment that she had, every major treatment, seemed like the Lord would lay it on my heart to write a song. I wrote one that's called All My Praise, This Battle's Mine, Give God the Glory, Everlasting Life, Day by Day. But the other night I was looking at the one called Everlasting Life. And it was the last one that I wrote. And it was right after her last treatment. And it was right when she found out that the victory was in our hands, that she wasn't going to have a cobalt treatment. And I got to thinking of the words of that song, and it give us a hope, a desire to live. Jesus gives everlasting life. And I told Sister Ann, I said, there's our answer. You've been healed. He's not going to let us go through any more turmoil and trial, but He's given us everlasting life. And I think I'm going to sing this tonight. It's the first time I've ever sang it, but I'm going to try it out on you. If you'll worship with me.
Amen.
ago, upon a cross you died. It looked like the demons of hell had won every fight. But when the stone was rolled away and the angel stepped aside, he came forth with a shout of everlasting life. That's what Jesus gives us, everlasting life. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. His love is everlasting love, and it won't ever let you down. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. Everlasting love that won't ever let you down. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. If you ever need someone to call your friend, all you have to do is open up your heart and let him in. For he knows your every need, even in your darkest hour. Let him see you through with everlasting power. That's what Jesus gives us, everlasting life. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. His love is everlasting love and will never let you down. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. Oh, that's what Jesus gives us, everlasting life. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. His love is everlasting love that won't ever let you down. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. Many, many years ago, upon a cross he died. It looked like the demons of hell had won every fight. But when the stone was rolled away and the angel stepped aside, he came forth with a shout of everlasting life. That's what Jesus gives us, everlasting life. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. Oh, his love is everlasting love. It will never let you down. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. His love is everlasting love that will never let you down. Everlasting life, that's what Jesus gives. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Justin's going to help us sing this next song. Come on up here, Justin. Amen. We're going to teach you a new course here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I told him to put his coat on before he come up here. Teaching him how to dress real sharp. How y'all like that? He don't know his collar's turned up. Amen. I understand Carol Ann's never been kissed by any pretty boys, but she's been kissed by a bunch of ugly ones. But this is a good-looking man right here, isn't he? Praise God. I don't know if you got the thing on right or not, but that doesn't matter. Praise God. Tell them praise the Lord, Justin. Praise. Tell them praise the Lord out there. Tell them.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, boy, that sounds like a preacher to me, doesn't he, you? Praise God. I think he's got it. That sounds mighty good. That's more anointing I've heard some preachers have. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this song goes like this. All right, are you ready? Okay.
Together we can climb any mountain. Together we can ford any stream. Turn a desert into a fountain. Together we can do anything. Together we can climb any mountain. Together we can ford any stream. Turn a desert into a fountain. Together we can do anything.
Together we can climb any mountain. Together we can ford any stream. Turn a desert into a fountain. Together we can do anything. Help us, Mom. Well, together we can climb any mountain. Together we can ford any stream. We will turn a desert into a fountain. Together we can do anything. Together we can climb any mountain. Together we can ford any stream. Turn a desert into a fountain. Together we can do anything. All right, now, he's going to show you what goes with this song, all right? He's really good at this. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of meaning in this song here. Together we can climb any mountain. Together we can ford any stream. Turn a desert into a fountain. Together we can do anything. Who are you waving at over there, huh? That pretty girl? Oh, I see. Okay. All right, let's sing it one more time on that one phrase that you ended on, the same key. Well, together we can climb any mountain. Together we can ford any stream. Turn a desert into a fountain. Together we can do anything. All right, like this it goes.
Together we can climb any mountain. Together we can ford any stream. Turn a desert into a fountain. Together we can do anything.
Well, let's have them all stand. Can you all stand? Hallelujah. You know, I think together we're going to have revival. Amen. Can you see him over here? He can't see you. Justin, they can't see you, son. That's just too bad for them, isn't it? All right. Well, together we can climb any mountain.
Oh, together we can ford any stream. Turn a desert into a fountain.
Together we can do anything.
Just a minute. I want Sister Vanessa to come up here. And I want her to swim like I just saw her swimming. Come on up here, Vanessa. Y'all got to see this. Praise God. Come on up here. Let's see some of that. I mean, praise God. If that's breakdancing, you done broke. You wasted it. Hey, man, that was tremendous. I'm going to start taking you with me to all the Crusaders camps. Praise God. Best Crusaders in the group right here. All right, Justin, are you ready? Here we go. You ready, Sister Hammy? Well, together we can climb any mountain.
Together we can ford any stream. Turn a desert into a fountain.
Yeah, like.
Together we can do anything.
Oh, yeah. Together we can climb any mountain. Oh, together we can
ford any stream.
We will turn a desert into a fountain. Yeah, together we can do anything. Oh, together one more time. Fountain. Oh, together we can ford any stream. We can turn a desert into a fountain. Together we can do anything. Can you glorify God?
Hallelujah. God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We're reading tonight in the book of Mark, chapter 12. Praise the Lord. If you would stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. It's good to see all of you. It's good to see Brother Sammy Alverson pastoring over at Moron, Arkansas. And oh, I mean the Morons at Moro. No, I mean Brother Alverson's at Moro. Praise God. Well, we won't get on the subject of rector, so I better back off of him. But I preached for him the other night, some of the best preaching they've had in a while. They really enjoyed me being there. They're starved to death spiritually over there. Then he's going to bring Brother Rutledge on them. My. But good to see him. Good to see you, Gary and Brenda. Amen. And their children, their young ladies. Praise God. I tell you, Carol Ann, don't let them tease you too much. I never kissed my wife before we were married. Mm-hmm. Never did I. Never. I know some of y'all that remember when Joy and I dated are looking at me with great rounded eyes of amazement. Because you know in your heart that I'm lying. But I never did kiss My wife before I married.
See them new boys back there just got married. They're looking at you like they don't believe it.
She wasn't my wife before I married her. That's right, Brother Yeager. Praise God. But I guarantee I kissed my girlfriend.
Amen.
In fact, I kissed Joy on the first date.
That's right.
Really, she kissed me, and I was just trying to defend myself. Praise God. I did. Amen.
Praise God.
We can tell y'all a lot of things you don't know that we've kept secret. In the 28th verse of Mark chapter 12, one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well. Jesus always gives the right answers.
Amen.
Brother Rutledge had a radio broadcast once entitled, Christ is the answer. He is still the answer. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and however, forever. Praise God. And he answered them well, ask him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.
Amen.
And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I want to talk to you tonight about the all concept of worship. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this place of worship, for this spirit that we feel. Lord, anoint this vessel to preach in our ears to hear. We pray in the name of Jesus. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
In studying a while ago, I was reading one of my study guides, one of my books, and it figures that I'm preaching on a subject that they said, according to the original manuscripts and translations of the Greek edition and the scrolls of the Bible, that this passage of Scripture that I read in your hearing tonight is not found or worded this way. And I said, well, that figures. I've studied for 30 hours on a subject that's not even written that way. But somehow, somewhere, under the anointing of the gospel writer of Mark, and many people feel that Mark is the transcended notes of the Apostle Peter. But somewhere in this passage, in this writing, somebody overheard the Lord giving the first commandment. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart.
That's right.
That is the first commandment. The greatest commandment of all, is simply this. Love God with everything you've got.
Right, right.
That's what it boils down to.
Amen.
We've gone through it. I want to go through it tonight, but it's simply the greatest commandment of all.
Amen.
Is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything you've got.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know tonight that it's up to you to decide whether you are going to be a thermometer or a thermostat. Now, you know that a thermometer is contrasted or controlled by its atmosphere. A thermometer registers the temperature, and it is controlled by its atmosphere. A thermostat does not register the temperature, but rather regulates the environment or the atmosphere. It regulates the temperature. A thermostat is not controlled by its environment, but rather a thermostat controls its environment. You rely on me as the minister to preach to you the word and carry this revival on my shoulder. Or we can decide to be a thermostat and control the environment of this revival by our worship and our praise and our love to God.
Good.
Amen. Amen. When I come in a while ago, I carried my briefcase in with my Bible in the briefcase to protect it from the rain. And Brother Jackson said, "Did you bring revival in that case?" I said, "I wished it was that easy that we could just come in here, pop open the lid, and just shout glory, and poof, there was a revival atmosphere." But I don't find anywhere in the Bible where you've got voodoo religion, where that you have a mighty move of God. But if a mighty move of God enhances this tabernacle, it's going to be when we all love God with all of our hearts. Hallelujah. You can come here and just sit and enjoy the environment, or you can come here and regulate the environment. Hallelujah. It's up to you to be a thermometer or a thermostat. And then the scripture says, love your neighbor. Get your neighbor. Get your neighbor involved. And together, love your God with all you've got. The first commandment is to love the Lord God with all you've got, and get your neighbor that you love, and let them love the Lord God with you. That creates an atmosphere and an environment for revival. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I told God when I got ready to come here, I said, "Lord, for some reason, I seem to get nervous in this place. Other than my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and all of my family here, I don't know why I get nervous in this place. But I want to tell you, nervousness is a lack of confidence and faith in God. I did not come here to declare my inadequacies. I did not come here to declare to you why I am not what I want to be in God. You wouldn't want to hear them anyhow. But I have come to declare to you that in the next few days, in the next few hours of this three-day revival, I've come as your neighbor to love our God with everything that I've got, and I ask for your participation." Hallelujah. I did not come just to feel the environment in this place, although it feels good. But I've come to regulate the environment in this place. And I have discovered that if we're going to have a revival, then we all have got to get in love with Jesus and love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hallelujah. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, "Hello"? Praise God. We're going to have revival. Praise God. Now, what I want you to see is that there is an all concept in worship. In Acts chapter 2, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all," everybody say all, "with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all," and everybody say all, "the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like of the fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all," everybody say all, All filled with the Holy Ghost. I got to hang up on all. What is the greatest commandment of all? They were all filled. They were all filled. In verse 7, "And they were all," everybody say all "amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, not are all these which speak Galileans." Hallelujah. I'm talking about a revival tonight that's going to encompass all of us. "Are not all of these which speak Galileans?" Praise God. "Are they not Pine Bluff folks? Are they not apostolic people?" Hallelujah. God has got a revival for all of us. He said in verse 12, "And they were all," everybody say all "amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But verse 17 said, "But it shall come to pass that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all." And that's where I want to preach. If we're going to have an outpouring upon all flesh, then all flesh has got to love God with all of their heart. You know, it's dangerous to preach like this because I've pastored long enough to know that it's hard to get everybody, all of us, involved in loving God at one time. So many distractions. But I read that in the day of Pentecost, they were all, somehow they managed to all get in love with God and worship God with all of their heart. And the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. And the promise to a revival church in our day is He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Everybody say all. Not a part, not some, not a few, but all. You notice that on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people that joined the church. The apostles, you notice, spent 10 days in prayer and had a one-day revival. And 3,000 souls came down the aisle. For you see, the apostles were prayed up. I hope you're prayed up for revival. And they and Peter stood up. And he spoke out, and the Spirit came down, and the folks came down the aisle. But don't forget, they prayed 10 days and had a one-day revival. But in the churches across our land today, it's common to pray one day and have a 10-day revival and nobody come down the aisle. I want you to know I feel that that is biblically backwards. I think that we can have the revival we want to see when we all get involved with the revival. Hallelujah. You know, I want you to see here that it wasn't just on some or a few, but revival came when all of them got involved with all they had. You know, what I'm trying to say here is you cannot rely on Russell Hamby to do everything in this revival. I cannot shout for you. I cannot pray. Well, I can pray for you, but I can't pray your prayer of repentance for you. I cannot praise for you. I cannot do those things. I cannot walk on water. I'm afraid to walk on this banister. I might fall off. I'm afraid that if I got up on this pulpit in the Spirit, as Brother Lumpkin says, I couldn't get down in the flesh. I wouldn't attempt to run on the backs of the pews because I didn't pay for them. But I want you to hear me tonight, folks, that this revival I'm talking about isn't going to come just by Russell Hamby being here or Joy or just you coming here. But this revival is going to happen when we all come in here and love God with all of our heart. I'm going to preach all until all of us get involved with what I'm saying. Woo! Hallelujah! And you know, I asked God one time. I said, God, how come I don't get the altar results I want to see? Well, of course, God told me, first of all, you got to be a good preacher. So I said, God, make me a better preacher. So God made me a better preacher. And so I began to preach, and still I wasn't getting the results I wanted. And so I asked God again, Lord, why do I not see the results I want to see in the altar? And the Lord told me it's because you don't actually believe what you preach while you're preaching. You just preach because that's what you're called to do. But if you would go to the pulpit with faith that what you're preaching will actually happen, then you will get the results that you want to see. You know, it's not enough, Brother Mark, just to be a preacher. But you've got to be a preacher of the Word. Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and patience. Hey, listen, it's not enough just to say you're a preacher and preach, but you've got to get the folks you're preaching to realize you believe that what you're preaching is going to happen to them. I want to tell you there's some wonderful things going to happen to you when we all realize that it's going to take all of us worshiping God with all we've got to have the revival we want to see. Amen. Even Peter, the Bible says, was standing up with the 11. 11 others preached with him on the day of Pentecost. 11 of them. Praise God. And I'm sure that was exciting. I don't know how it happened. I know they didn't have PA equipment. I know that they didn't have amplification too well. But perhaps could it be that the 11 mingled in the crowd. And while Peter preached, they preached also. Repent, repent. Surely Brother Rutledge has done this. Repent, repent. Some of you that were preachers probably know that what he preached at them. Be baptized, be baptized. But what I'm wanting you to see, even the Apostle Peter giving the keys to the kingdom, to the world, to unlock the door of salvation, realized that he couldn't do it by himself. He had to have 11 of them with him. Even Jesus in Mark chapter 3 verse 17. I've never preached like this before on this subject, but I just feel like preaching this. Even Jesus in Mark chapter 3 verse 17 said that he called James and John the sons of thunder. I couldn't figure out how come he called them the sons of thunder until I began to study. And the commentator said it's because they got excited when they were preaching. They got excited when they were preaching. Hey, you boys of thunder, I need your help. You know, could it be that there was times that Jesus needed a little help in the crowd? Hallelujah. I need some thunder to roar. I need some enthusiasm. I want some thunder around here. Folks, I want to tell you, it's time the sons of thunder sound off. It's time the 11 stand up. It's time the Apostolic Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas has a revival that all of us get involved with. You take your finger like this and point it up here. If you'll do that, take your finger like this and point it, and then point it back to yourself and say, he's talking about me. Amen. You know, I learned the other day, I've got some military men in my church, but I learned that in the military, they never teach you to point like this. But in the military, they teach you to point like this. They say you point all fingers forward. You don't ever point like this in the military if you're going to be a speaker, a public speaker. Have a man in my church that is taking speaking training for the military so he can do seminars. He told me they teach you to point like this. Because when you point like this, there's too many fingers pointing back at you. I want to tell you something. I realize that the reason why I wasn't seeing the revival that I want to see is because I'm always pointing like this. Well, the saints were sick. Well, the saints were down. Well, there was just a dead spirit there tonight. Well, they didn't worship. Well, they didn't get with it. Well, they're about half mad. My God, we're about to have a split. Oh, hallelujah. And by this and by that, I begin to realize that if I'm going to have revival, I've got to get back to the basics. And the basics says, love the Lord thy God with all of your heart. And then go get your neighbor and let your neighbor and you love one another and love God with all of your heart. I'm telling you, if we're going to have revival, it's not going to start from the pulpit and go to the pew. But if we're going to have a revival, it's going to start in the pew and come to the pulpit. My God, let revival not start on the front row, but let it start on the back row and come forward. I'm telling you, if we're going to have an apostolic revival, all of us have to got to get in one place. Hallelujah. Yeah. And love Him with all of our heart. All of us. All of our heart. All of us. Love Him with all of our heart. Hallelujah. My God. I want to tell you something. Brother Bennett preached a great message last night I've heard. And I will listen to it. And I will get as many thoughts off of it as I can. And I will write them down and preach them somewhere else. Praise God. If they're good ones. Praise God. But I want to tell you something. I've copied down a whole book some other preachers and got up and preached it and fell all over myself. God ain't interested in our exegesis, and He's not interested in our delivery. He's not delivered or interested in our exhortation. He's not interested in those things. God's interested in how much all of us love Him. Revival don't come by me just getting up here and speaking words. The Word is anointed. The Word will do the work. But the revival fire comes when we all get in one place and love Him with all of our heart. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, I'm out of time, just getting started, but I'll just finish it tomorrow. I decided when I come down here to preach revival, I'd preach as far as I could get. And if I didn't get all the way, then I'd finish it later.
Yeah.
Praise God. I am not going to rush. I'm going to preach what thus saith the word of the Lord as He has told me to preach. There's a bunch of you that haven't really got in here and loved God like you know you can love God. That don't mean you're backslid. That don't mean that you're going splitting hell right wide open. And that don't mean, no. It just means that sometimes it's easy to draw back. But Paul said, we're not of those that draw back into perdition. In other words, he's saying we're not those that backslide. But we are of those that go on into salvation. You ain't going to have a salvation revival by drawing back. You're not going to have a Holy Ghost revival by sitting on your hands. You're not going to have a Holy Ghost apostolic move by holding your voice and keeping it quiet. You're not going to have a Holy Ghost revival by drawing back into a backslidden condition. But if you're going to have an apostolic Holy Ghost outrunning fire sent down from heaven revival, all of you are going to have to get back to loving God with all of your heart. You got to learn how to love Him again with all of your heart. That's how revival falls. That's how revival comes.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Alamahasha, hallelujah. Woo! We get this thing turned around. We get it turned around. We think revival starts at the pulpit and goes to the pews. But on the day of Pentecost, friend, the revival, it didn't start at the pulpit and went to the pew. But it started in the upper room when they all, after loving God for 10 days, was filled with the Spirit. And then the Bible records that they acted as drunk men. That something done got a hold on them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I had a boy come to my church. You got to pardon me. I'm just a little excited. You know, I just can't conceal it. In the last month of April, I've baptized 4 brand new ones, and I've seen 4 brand new ones receive the Holy Ghost. Young couples about 30, 32 years of age. 2 brand new families in our church Sunday night. A young man came for his first time and received the Holy Ghost. His very first time back at the pew. I can't hide it. I went to a meeting one time to hear a man preach, and they had a glorious preliminary service of worship and singing and fiery testimonies, and the Spirit of God was generating in that place. He come and took the pulpit, and he said, I am so excited to be here tonight. Now, I know you're not supposed to talk in church, but I sinned. I poked the person behind me or beside me, and probably behind me too, and probably the one in front of me too. But anyhow, I got some attention, and I said, if that's where he acts when he's excited, I sure would hate to see him when he's not excited. I said, man, he'd live in a mortuary if that's excitement. He wasn't excited to be there. That was just a waste of words. When you're excited, it changes your voice. When you're excited, it changes your action. You're not dead beaten off course. No, my friend, when you get excited, it shows. Woo! It's got to show somehow. Man, they've been filled with the power. They got excited. They got intoxicated on the Spirit. When you get intoxicated, the fluids that you've injected into your body overtakes the normal course in blood count and the sensory count. Everything gets out of whack when you're intoxicated. They have the Holy Ghost intoxication service, and somebody let it show. I don't know why we're apostolic, but we're afraid to let it show sometimes. Why are we afraid to let it show? It's the Holy Ghost and the fire that is keeping me alive.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo. Amen. Jesus, He came with the Holy Ghost and fire. He baptized them with the Holy Ghost and fire. The fire.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. There's going to be a whole lot more of that going on. There goes emotional Mark. By God, I'm glad he's emotional enough to be marked full of the Holy Ghost. There goes emotional Mark. I don't care. I'm glad somebody can love God with their heart. Hallelujah. Keep it up, Mark.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Lord.
I want you to see that when they got intoxicated, they stumbled out of the upper room.
I want to tell you one thing about a good revival. When you really get to loving God, brother, you can't keep it in here. That joy will follow you to work. That joy will follow you to school. That joy is going to follow you home. I want to tell you, brother, I want you to know that when you get the real joy, it's going to follow you everywhere you go. You can't keep it hid. Something's going to change you. Woo! If you can get the loving God tonight, when you go to work tomorrow, somebody's going to ask you, where you been, man? What you been doing? Oh, we started revival. We started revival Thursday night with some wild redhead from Rector. No, you didn't start revival with some wild redhead from Rector. You started revival when you started loving God with all of your heart. You start revival when you get back to loving Him with all of your heart. That's when revival starts. That's when revival starts. It don't start with the evangelists. It starts with the saints when they love with all of their heart. Woo! And so they, halamahashaha. So they staggered out on the street. They got down in the crowds. They got over next to the biggest reprobate in town. Yeah. They got to staggering around. Yeah. They ran into the banker. Yeah. They ran into the town dunce. Yeah. What's wrong with those folks? They got to be drunk on some kind of wine. Peter said, no. No, it's not what you get down at the liquor store that makes you act this way, but it is what you get when you start loving God with all of your heart. Listen, I got to make a point before I quit, but I want you to know that the apostles and the 120 had been in the upper room for 10 days and not one convert had come to hear them preach. Revival didn't start with the pulpit. Revival started with those folks that love God with all of their heart. And you know what happened when enough of those folks got to wander around on the street speaking in tongues. When they got to walking up and down the streets, I love these cordless mics. I promise I've never preached this far from the pulpit, but I just feel like staggering around a little bit. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yeah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yeah! Hallelujah! When 120 of them got to wandering around like that in the streets of Jerusalem, they're the ones that brought the crowd. They're the ones that brought the crowd to the church. It wasn't the preachers that brought the crowd. It was the people that brought the crowd when they got to loving with all of their heart. You know, Brother Rutledge, typical caring shepherd, got up here tonight and said, well, the picking's a little thin tonight. Don't know if we even got enough for an offering. Friend, we will take an offering. You may only have one person there, but he may be the richest man in town. Take an offering. Hallelujah. But you know what will turn these empty pews into being packed places with people? It's not going to be the preaching of Brother Hemby. It's going to be the ministry of the saints of the Apostolic Church. Hallelujah. How long has it been since we had one of them neck jerking, feet stomping, body shaking, hallelujah, sweating kind of revivals where everybody gets full of the power? I'm telling you, this is that. The joy said would bring an outpouring in the last days. Revival starts on all flesh, not with the preacher. Oh, John Tracy walked into my church. My, I got quit. Oh, I just could preach the rest of the night. John was a wild, wild hippie. Long, greasy hair. Long, kinky beard. He pumped iron. Muscular. Stout. Mean looking. He was a rock and roll drummer. Played the nightclubs. He got into trouble. He hit the devil. He got the main line in cocaine and heroin, shooting it up. I don't know what kept him from blowing his head off the shoulders. mainline and cocaine and heroin, he told me. He said, I'd get as high as a kite. He said, when I'd get as high as I could get, he said, still, I could not surpass conviction that God had put on me. David said, though I make my bed in hell, the Lord is there. I don't care how deep in sin you go, you can't go deep enough that God can't fill you with His power. He walked into my church on a Sunday morning, eyes still glazed over from a hangover. He come in, he said, hey, you the preacher? I said, yes, I am. I was in the vestibule opening the doors. He said, well, he said, I want to ask you a question. That'll determine whether I stay here or not. I said, ask away, ask away. He said, I want to know if you believe in speaking in tongues. I said, not only do we believe in it, my friend, but we practice it. I said, God is alive and well. That's a sign that He's still real. He said, well, let me tell you something, preach. He said, I'm just an old sinner. I'm a drug user and a rock and roll drummer. He said, but I get high on cocaine. He said, the conviction of God would get a hold of me. He said, I'd start reading the Bible. He said, although I was as high as a kite, when I'd open that Bible, I was as sober as I am right now. He said, and I got to reading over there in Acts chapter 2. He said, I got to reading how that on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He said, I told my wife, I've tried everything, but one thing I haven't tried is the speaking in tongues Holy Ghost. He said, I want to go where I can experience the speaking in tongues Holy Ghost. Listen, listen. He told me, he said, I've tried every church in this town. We have 35 churches in our area. He'd stumbled into all kinds of denominations. He'd asked every kind of preacher, do you believe in speaking in tongues? He said, I got all kinds of different answers. When I told him, yes, we believe in speaking in tongues. His wife standing there was 8 months expecting with child. He big buster, he reached over and slapped her, almost knocked her down. He said, Mama, he said, this is what I've been looking for right here. I want to tell you, he had never heard me preach. He'd never seen me before. My charisma, my personality hadn't enticed him. No, I tell you, this was a man that had tried everything and he couldn't find satisfaction. But he got to loving God with all of his heart. And when you love God, God will lead you to revival. Woo! Started teaching them home Bible study course. I'm excited, folks. I'm excited. I want to tell you, revival ain't going to start with me. It's going to start with you. I started a home Bible study. And I said, oh boy, we're going to have a time when we get over on them holy subjects. Holiness and righteousness. Because you see, when I go teach a Bible study, John would answer the door wearing nothing but his gym shorts. Bare-chested, barefooted. And he would come to the door. Yeah, man, I'm ready for the Word. Put it on me. I said, won't you go put on a shirt before I put it on you? So he'd go and get him one of them tank top t-shirts, you know. Muscles bulging out all over. I went in the house, set my flip chart up on their stove. Karen come out, sat down on the couch. My God, have mercy, Lord. It's hard to teach a Bible study like this, Brother Mark. And then on the second day, oh God, I'd go and teach them Bible study and Karen would wear halter tops that was just barely halter. And she wore the tightest, shortest red shorts I'd ever seen in my life. And they would bring them Bibles and she'd lay that Bible on them bare knees. And he'd stand, sit there in them tight gym shorts and a muscle shirt. I'd say, turn over there to Acts. And I'd teach them about the Holy Ghost. Tears would come in their eye, splash down on their naked legs. They didn't know, friend, they were ignorant, but they knew that something was drawing them. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I started revival with Brother Jonathan Perry. He came and preached. I got John and Karen to come in on a Sunday night before I ever got over there to the holiness lesson. Thank God for revival. Hallelujah. Before I ever got over on the holiness lesson, one night at the altar call on a Sunday evening, John came down the aisle and Karen was right beside him. Had borrowed a dress and he had found a pair of trousers and a suitable shirt. They came to church, stood in the front of the altar. I told John,
Jonathan, I said, you get her, I'll get him. We laid hands on them in the name of Jesus. And at the moment that we began to pray with them, they lifted their hands toward heaven. These ex-hippies now, hippies then, but ex-hippies now, lifted their hands toward God. I tell you, there's no qualifications to loving God. I don't care where you live. I don't care how you act. I don't care how much drugs you've had. I don't care what kind of life you lived. When you start loving God with all of your heart, the Holy Ghost is poured out. They started speaking in tongues together at the same time. She shouted that way, and he shouted that way. I corralled them and baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo! Here a while back, I got to close. But I'm excited about loving God. Here a while back on a Sunday night, John playing them drums. Yeah, he was way too loud. Some of the old folks with the white hair didn't like it. They was looking at me like this, and the young folks were looking at me like this. You know you're a pastor when your old folks look at you like this, and your young folks say, when one group of the church is saying, turn it down, another group is saying, turn it up. Yeah. Say, woo! That's when I said, I feel the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of unity is in this place. Yeah. I went back, I told John, I said, you're too loud. He had his eyes closed, big old tears are running down his face. He's speaking in other tongues as he's playing those drums. He's hitting cymbals, he's hitting drums, he's making all kinds of noise. I said, John, you're a little loud. Speaking in tongues. Finally, I beat on the drum. I said, John, wake up. He said, oh, hey, man, how you doing, Brother Hamby? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I said, John, you're a little loud. I said, man, you done blew the resistors out and Brother So-and-so's hearing aid back there. Oh, he said, man, I'm sorry. He said, you got to understand. He said, well, I used to get high on cocaine and play these drums in the nightclub. He said, but that was no fun. He said, there was no joy in that. He said, but now I get high on the Holy Ghost. I get intoxicated in the Holy Ghost. I get filled up with the Holy Ghost and I can't contain it. Somebody's got to hear it. I got the Holy Ghost and it's inside of me. I got to let it show I love God. Amen. If y'all stand up, I'll quit. But John wasn't satisfied with that. He went and got John, Mike, his brother-in-law. And old Mike, he set him down. He said, look here, Turkey. This is what it says to do. And he read him, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He said, you got to get that. Mike never been to church but one time, and that was on a Sunday night. We blew his mind. And so he went and spent the night with them the next Friday. And before they went to bed, they read their Bible. And John got to talking to him. Karen got to talking to him. So he went to bed. He couldn't sleep. He was thinking about it. They got up the next morning. Karen, all they had was Cheerios. She put Cheerios out on the table. Got the milk out. They poured the milk on the Cheerios. And they said, whoops. You know, a new convert forgot to pray for the food. Milk was already in the cereal. They said, we got to pray for our food. Oh, God, bless this food and give Mike the Holy Ghost. They got through praying. They looked over. Mike had big tears running down his face, dripping off into his Cheerios. They got around him, started praying with him. 30 minutes later, Mike jumped up from that table, knocked the chairs over, shouted all over the living room, speaking in other tongues as God give him the Holy Ghost. He told me later, he said, my Cheerios got soggy, but he said, I got salvation. Hallelujah. When you start loving God, your Cheerios may get soggy, but you're going to get something that the world can't give you, and the world can't satisfy you. All you can do is get it by loving. And by loving God, whoo, praise God. The other day, John, who has since had a transfer of job to Indiana, come to me with tears in his eyes. He was visiting my church. He said, Brother Hamby, the other day, the senior pastor at Elkhart, Indiana, called me in his office, a church that runs about 500, and he said he offered me the assistant pastor's position. He said, I want you to pray. He said, God has called me to the ministry naturally now, but he said, this is quite a position, and I want to do what's God's will. He said, really, I want to go back out on the streets and tell more about what I've got. I want to tell you, church, if revival starts in this church,
It's not going to start with me, but it's going to start with the 120 going out on the streets. And when they got together, the whole town of Jerusalem was there. And when they preached, 3,000 more got the Holy Ghost. Why? Because somebody loved God with all of their heart. And I was going to preach about all of it, but I ain't got time no more. But you just got to trust me. When you got everything you've got into loving God, something spectacular is going to happen. Say, well, you know, it's not all in the shout. No, it's not all in the shout, but thank God for the part that is. I'm not asking you to shout tonight, but I will ask you if all of us somehow, some way, all of us could get up here and all of us love God with everything we've got for just 4 or 5 minutes. I guarantee you there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit in your vessel. Hallelujah! Does somebody want to love Jesus? Say amen! Does somebody want to praise Jesus? Say amen! If we're going to have revival, it's going to start out there. Do you want revival? Say amen. Hallelujah. Look at them coming. Coming on their own. Coming on their own. Coming to love God. Coming to love God. Coming to love Him. Love Him. Love Him, Brother Sammy, like you used to love Him. Love Him, Brother, like you used to love Him. Let's come and love Him. Love God with all of your heart. Love God with all of your heart. Love God with all of your heart. Halamahasha halabohoshi halama. Love God with all of your heart. Halamahasha halabohoshi halama. Woo! Yeah, in Acts, the second chapter, you can read it for yourself. You don't have to ask anybody else. Let's get Church of the Living God, let's praise Him. Come on, Church of the Living God, let's praise Him. Come on, young people, let's love God. Come on, get into it. Love Him. Come on, elders, let's love Him. Let's love Him tonight. Yeah, let's love Him. The Bible's going to happen when you love Him with all of your heart. Tonight. Yes,
can do,
what God can do,
if you believe,
if you believe.
There is no telling
what God can do,
what God can do,
if you believe,
if you believe.
Some stones may roll,
but
this I know,
this I know.
He healed my body,
he healed my body.
He saved my soul,
he saved my soul.
There is no telling what God can do,
what God can do,
if you believe.
If you believe,
the storms may roll,
but this I know,
He healed my body,
He
saved my soul,
and
there is no telling
what God can do,
if you believe,
there's no telling. What God's gonna do this
week? What God can do
when we believe. I just feel something in my bones. I feel something in my bones. Like fire shut up.
If you believe.
Oh, yeah.
The stars may roll. But this I know. He healed my body.
He saved my soul.
And there is no telling what God can do.